And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday.
Expository Thursday.
As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First Acts 21:13 is Paul's response to everybody being so concerned for him and his well-being. These people who are warning Paul and encouraging him to stop moving in the direction of the ministry he's going in are doing so because they're concerned for him. They love him. They are only thinking of his wellness. But that's the problem. Just like Peter said to Jesus, "No, Jesus, you can't die for everybody." These disciples were not thinking with the kingdom purposes in mind. It isn't a bad thing. It's a short-sighted thing. You'll catch it when we get there. Next, Paul, after connecting with an old-timer, that's Manassas, met up with James, the Lord's brother and the leader of the early church. He then gave everyone present a detailed account of everything that God had done. So here's a brilliant idea. Maybe we should record, make a record, list, jot down, note, and memorize the awesome deeds and answers to prayers of all that God has done for us in our lives. If you've never done that, start today. It's a fascinating, fascinating testimony of your own life. And finally, James then identifies some early church distinctions between believers. He does not note that some of these truths that are being emphasized are wrong. Instead, he encourages Paul to just put it to rest that the apostle had no respect for the law. Well, that wasn't true. Even Paul wrote that things were written before were written for our benefit. But people take bits and pieces of someone's message, kind of like the government or the media or academia, and they twist what's being said to communicate something much more egregious. And we thought those things just happened then. Guess what? It's no different now.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Just so much more. Remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. I prove that every single day that I'm on the radio. We're just asking you, hey, what do you think? What do you got going on? What's happening? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us during the show. So it doesn't matter if you're in San Diego. Doesn't matter if you're in Dallas. Doesn't matter if you're in Detroit. You can text us right now. All you got to do is text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. But when you make that call, just remember, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is the same feeling you get when you're being appreciated.
Aww. Thank you, David. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday, too. Isn't that nice to be appreciated? Isn't that nice?
Always.
All right. You're doing a great job, by the way.
So thank you.
We appreciate you. That'll be $1.50. Okay. Anyway.
It's been a while since you've said that.
Yeah, I know. And actually, it's supposed to be $3.50. That'd be $3.50. How much that cost?
It's been so long, you said the wrong amount.
Yep. It's been $350. Okay, anyway, we'll get back to it. Here's the bottom line. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Maybe you've got a praise report. Maybe you got something that's on your heart and mind, and you just want to share it. You know, it's not, you're not trying to establish the new doctrinal statement of the entire church functionality. That'd be a good idea. Then you'd have to stick that under ecclesiology and not right now. Here's the other thing that you need to consider. Maybe that prayer request that you're petitioning, you need more faith. And when you have other people praying with you, there's more faith to it. I always think of faith this way. Being born and raised Jewish and then becoming a Christian. And then going through all the stuff that I've gone through, bad church experience, then going through some of the education, some of the church plants, and some of the ministry. Here's how I think of faith. This is how dumb I am, but how simple I am. I think of faith as money. If you have a dollar's worth of faith, and then somebody else has a dollar's worth of faith, and then somebody else has a dollar's worth of faith, well, that's $3 worth of faith, and that's more than a dollar. And more faith is good. That's how I look at it. It's like, okay, call me dumb, but it seems right to me. Anyhow, if you got that going, if you got a praise report going, maybe you've got an answer to Bible trivia. I don't know. Can you answer this question? Here you go. Your only hint on this question is think of the last question. Among how many lampstands was Jesus in John's vision in Revelation? How many lampstands was he in the midst of? Was it 3 lamps, 7 lamps, or 12 lamps? 3 lamps, 7 lamps, or 12 lamps? By the way, your answer is going to be in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. Again, think of the previous trivia question if you're trying to figure it out. Among how many lampstands was Jesus in John's vision? So he was in the middle of how many lampstands? Huh? Was it 3, 7, or 12? If you think you know the answer, simple. You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We're going to do our DNA because we live by DNA. And we should be living by DNA, and it's that important to do. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day, spend some time with the Lord. Separated, in the closet. I don't care what people say. I don't care what the world says. Jesus said, go into the closet. So that you can spend time with God undistracted. Jesus went up on the mountaintops to pray. Why? Because there's nobody there. Nobody there so he can spend time with the Father and with the Spirit. See how that works? What do you mean spend time with the Spirit, Dave? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Hello. Fellowship. That's your counselor. Additionally, to D for draw closer to the Lord daily is N. That's the next part of the formula. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his word. So you draw closer to the Lord, and then you're never ashamed of his words. Doesn't matter what the world says. I've said this 1,000 times on the show. The world does not have a heaven to put you in, but they can certainly help you go to hell. Get it? Okay, there you go. Make that sense? Okay. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means out of you and into others. OPM. You know what OPM stands for? Other people matter. And so what you want to do is put yourself in a place to be a vessel to be used by the Lord. Does that mean that you're going to stand on a mountaintop and God is going to give you an audience of 4 billion and you're going to speak to everybody? Probably not. But it does mean that if you are mindful of other people and you are willing to serve, you are putting yourself in the place that God wants you to put yourself in. And maybe that's a prayer that you pray for somebody. Maybe it's a word. Maybe it's just an encouraging email. Maybe it's a text. Maybe it's just gathering other people. Maybe it's contacting the person by phone. I don't know. But if you're not willing and you're not presenting yourself, then we're putting all of ourselves at a disadvantage. Me too. It's like, well, I present myself during the show, but you know what? There's more time in the day than 1:30 to 3. It's the fact of the matter. So do I present myself? Am I available? Or do I think, well, I've already done my stuff. I don't got to do anything else. That's ridiculous. If Jesus did that, I mean, just think how many people would never have been ministered to. You can't do that. Always available. Always ready to serve. In fact, Luke chapter 12 says, always be ready to serve. That's DNA. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D, and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready to serve. Our trivia question, and then we're going to get into the teach, but the trivia question, how many lampstands was Jesus standing amongst in John's vision in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20? Is it 3 lamps, 7 lamps, or 12 lamps? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. If you're really feeling like it's not challenging enough of a trivia question for you, just answer in Greek. Or if you really want it to be challenging, answer in Hebrew. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So thus far, I think we've covered everything that I can think that we need to cover. Like I said, we're going to put together a resource page. Right now, I haven't figured out how I'm going to do that. But ultimately, I think I'm going to have somebody to volunteer to collect the information, gather the information, give me the information, then I'll put it up on the website. That's what I'm thinking. So if anybody's in the mood for something like that, don't hesitate to reach out to me. Acts. The Acts of the Apostles, Acts, chapter 21. Technically, we're supposed to be starting at verse 13, but I need to ramp it up because it helps. All right, here we go. Acts chapter 21. We'll pick it up from verse 11. When he visited us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands with it. And then he said, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and then unto Rome. When we heard this, we who were traveling with him, as well as the local believers, begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. This is not a bizarre thing at all. They're like, oh, man, we don't want you to be hurt, Paul. We don't want you to be bound up. But, and that's actually what verse 13 starts with. But Paul said, why all this weeping? You're breaking my heart. For I am ready not only to be jailed in Jerusalem, but also to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. So let's understand how serious and deep this is. Okay? Sometimes we will hear somebody going to something or through something, and we're like, no, no, no! But what if that's God's plan? And what if that's part of the purposes? And the reason I say that to you is because even in your own life, the Lord has had you step into situations that you would normally go, no, no, no! But then again, what if that's part of the plan, and what if that's part of the purpose? Now, we do have somebody calling in, and I am going to take that call, but I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. Sometimes the Lord has you step into something, and you're like, but he has a plan behind it, and we should be willing to do anything for the Lord. All right, let's take this call on the trivia question, right? It's on trivia. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Don.
Hi, Don. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, brother. It's been a while since I've called, but
Wait. It's been a while since he called, and he forgot how to use the phone. No. We're going to give him a chance to call right back. You have to love Don. Don's just got that great attitude, right? I mean, he's just got that great, wonderful spirit.
It's great timing, too, with him saying that.
Don, call us back. Okay. That's how you tell somebody to call back. You just say it right in the microphone. Call us back. There you go. All right. It could be in a down area. I got a couple of those out where we live. All right. So let's go back then to the teaching and see if Don's going to pop back in. So here's something I want you to catch. They're concerned for Paul. It's not that the concern for Paul is a bad thing, but there are times where our concerns are greater than God's purposes. That is what I'm trying to get you to recognize, that sometimes those concerns, though you can feel them, are not as important as accomplishing the task that God has. What if in your trial, God has other things in mind for other people to get saved? Is it worth it then? Oh, see, that's the challenge. All right, we'll bring Don back on right now. Send him on through. Don, are you there with us?
I am here, brother.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're okay. I'm going to make sure nothing bad happened, so I'm glad you called back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It happens. That's part of living. That's part of driving and living and existing and functioning.
Right.
All right, here we go. Let me set it up, and then you hit it out of the park, okay? Ready? All right. How many lampstands was Jesus standing amongst in John's vision? Was it 3, 7, or 12?
You know, when you said the question, the first thing that came to my mind was 7.
That is correct, though!
I'm in one year Bible reading, and we're in Revelation right now.
There you go, right? And so Revelation 1:20, 7 lists. And so what's amazing about that passage that people miss all the time, and I tell people this when they get frustrated, like with the church not being perfect or stuff, is this. Jesus was amongst or in the middle of the lampstands. Before you start bashing on the church in general, let's understand where Jesus is. He's in the middle. He's not unaware of what's going on. He's not over there in the Ozarks. He's in the middle of the church. He knows. He knows there's problems. He knows things have got to be worked out. That's why he gives those different recommendations and rebukes and encouragements to those churches.
That's right, brother.
Exactly right. How you doing, brother? You doing good?
I am doing good. I'm getting ready for choir again. We're going to get started again, and we had a fabulous Christmas performance, Christmas spectacular. It was just awesome. I bought you a CD.
You bought me a CD?
I did.
Wow.
And when I deliver those cookies or whatever I do that, I'm going to bring it with me.
I look forward to it. Especially awesome. If I can listen to the CD with cookies.
There you go.
See, there it is. There. Now you've reached,
all right, brother.
You've reached it. Good job, brother.
You have a blessed day.
All right, you be blessed. Bye-bye.
All right,
bye. All right, Brother Don, doing a phenomenal job. All right, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to break and come back, and I want to kind of reset on some of these things I was teaching about, because you and I need to understand something, and that is sometimes the fire that we walk through lights other lamps that we're unaware of. Ooh. Taking a short break, and then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher. Or it doesn't matter if your translation says master, rabbi. It doesn't care. She said, Mary. She responded, Master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along in your journey. Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley. At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, it was kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding of his depth of love. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where we welcome everybody from the north, south, east, and west. Let's get ready for our next trivia question, an interesting one. How old was Noah when he fathered his three sons? Was he 600 years old, 500 years old, or 435 years old? Your answer is in Genesis chapter 5, verse 32. Regardless, any of those answers makes it old. How old was Noah when he fathered his three sons? Was he 600 years old, 500 years old, or 435 years old? Your answer, again, is in Genesis chapter 5, verse 32. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483, or send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. I have two very short jokes. One is really, 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 really short. And then the other one's a little less short. But one, the first short one's going first. But the second one is really good. We do have somebody coming in, but they're now going to have to wait. Because I have to do the jokes because we're not doing enough jokes. So I need to laugh more. Are they going to be able to hold for a little bit? Is that going to be all right if they hold? All right, here we go. Here's your first joke. What is the opposite of minimum? What is the opposite of minimum? Minidad. See, minimom, minidad. See?
You're killing me, Smalls.
Okay, I agree with you on that one. All right, here we go. A three-year-old had been told several times to get ready for his bed. The last time his mom told him, she was very insistent. He responded by saying, "Yes, sir." Correcting him, she said, "You should say yes, sir, to a man. I am a lady," and you would say "yes, ma'am" to a lady. To quiz him on this lesson, she asked him, "What would you say to Daddy?" "Yes, sir," came the reply. "And what would you say to Mama?" He said, "Yes, ma'am," he proudly answered. "Good job. Now what would you say to Grandma?" He lifted up and said, "Can I have a cookie?" That's good. See, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right, let's send the person through. Send the caller through. Oh, knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Gary. How are you feeling?
Well, about the same. I just keep praying.
Well, that's why we keep praying with you, because we love you. And we're not going to stop praying with you because we love you so much. All right. Okay. I don't know if you heard that joke. It was a pretty good joke, but about the what does the son say to the grandma? Instead of saying, "Yes, ma'am," he goes, "Can I have a cookie?" That's what kids say to their parents. All right, here we go. How old was Noah when he fathered his three sons? Was he 600 years old, 500 years old, or 435 years old?
I believe he was 500 years old.
That is correct, Amundo, sir. He is 500 years old, and I don't want to say much about that because, you know, I was a father early on, and I just think if I had kids when I was 500, I'd be like, sure. I mean, that would be, that would be a lot. And yes, they lived longer, but nonetheless, you know, he lived, what, 900 and some odd years, so it's still more than halfway through. Like, wow. That'd be like, you know, having kids like at 50-ish kind of thing now, I guess. 500.
It's kind of middle age.
Yeah, kind of middle age. Exactly. Exactly right. He was middle age for him. All right, my brother, let me pray over you. I just want to keep praying for you. We just want to be there for you as your family, in the radio family that way. So let's pray. Is that cool? Is that good for that?
Yeah, that's right.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now and lift up our precious brother, Gary. We just thank you for him. We thank you for our brother. We thank you that he calls in. We thank you that he answers trivia. And people are blessed. They get to know the answers if they don't know them. And he knows them. He knows your word. Lord, he knows who you are. And he knows that you can just say yes. And that's exactly what we're asking for. That in his body, in his situation, in his life, in different things that he's going through, you would say yes, and he would see grace. He would see the kingdom manifest, not down the road, but now in his midst. He would see the kingdom of God manifest, and your power would touch him. We would love, love to hear the testimony of how you move upon him. We rejoice to hear it, and we rejoice for him in it. And we ask you to bless our brother in multiple ways, but bring your healing power into his life. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, and thank you very much. I've been praying for all of you, and I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, bro. God bless you.
And God bless you. God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right. Love, Gary. All right. Let's go back to the text. I want to make sure everybody gets this, because this is important, and I know I had to kind of stutter teach it, which that's fine. You guys can figure that out. This is like regular conversation. But here they're telling Paul, you know, dude, not good, not good. It's not going to be good, not going to be good. You're going to be bound up in Jerusalem. Then you're going to be bound up. You're going to go to Rome. This is all bad. It's a mess. And so here's Paul's response. He says, why is there all this weeping? So these people were actually, you know, more than Peter's situation. If you want to know the difference between Peter and between these people telling Paul, when Peter told Jesus, you know, you're not going to die for everybody's sins. And Jesus had to rebuke him and say, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block. You haven't in mind the things of men and not the things of God. The difference in those two situations is Peter had just given this brilliant confession, and Peter was speaking much more out of a, I know what I'm talking about, I gave a great confession attitude. It's a lot more pride coming through versus just a simple concern for Jesus. In this case, you have all the disciples who are with Paul, Luke included, going, dude, no, we don't want anything bad to happen to you. So here's Paul's response. He's like, why all this weeping? You're breaking my heart. You're breaking my heart. Now, you guys might not know this reference, but stop it, Chrissy. You're breaking your mother's heart. It's like that kind of thing. And so you'd be breaking. So he was telling him, I will be jailed for Jesus. I'd be willing to be jailed. I'd be willing to die for Jesus. It's a simple question, a one that's challenging for all of us. Paul was ready to die for Jesus. Paul was ready to be jailed for Jesus. Are we? That's it. It's not even, and I'm not, no guilt tripping. No, I don't like that kind of, it's like, look, if that's what it calls upon, are we? That's just a simple question. You just got to be able to answer. The conclusion from the apostle, the whole process here is they figure out, well, listen, okay, we want the Lord's will to be done. We want God to have his way. And we can all use a little more of that in our responses to our own lives and our own family situations instead of, you know, saying, well, this is painful. This is going to be bad. I'm going to go through this. This is horrible. How about, you know what? Let the Lord's will be done. But, Dave, it's a horrible thing. Horrible things happen because it's a sinful world. It's just that God takes those horrible things and makes something good out of it. You think, well, how is that? How is that possible? I was a drug user. I was a thief. I was rebellious. I was incorrigible. I was unlearnable. I was untrainable. God took all of that and made something else. So don't tell me he can't take the biggest disaster you've ever gone through and bring something brilliant out of it. I am that. Not brilliant part, but I am somebody that did it all wrong, faced death on multiple occasions, had a gun pointed in my head with the hammer pulled all the way back. Not only did I do that to myself, I had somebody else do that to me. I am this. This is like I'm because I am what you said, because God can take this disaster of a person or the disaster of a situation or a disaster of a scenario and make something out of it that you never dreamed of in gold. How effective is that? How effective was it for Joseph to be accused of rape falsely, to go to jail falsely, to be imprisoned falsely, just so he can save a nation? How about that? the Lord's will be done. That's got to be our response. Otherwise, we're not operating in real faith. We're operating in our own control. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry. No parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God for you and I. God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our next trivia question, and a challenging one it is. So before you jump on the answer, make sure you know. How many Proverbs did Solomon write? Is it 1,005? Is it 3,000 or is it 1,500? So you already know it's more than the 30. How many Proverbs did Solomon write? 1,005, 3,000, or 1,500? Your reference, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You'd also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website, because on the website is blah, 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 plus a place to give. Yeah, if you can give, that'd be great. You will actually get a receipt. which was kind of nice to get a receipt. It might not be right since I've already made several of them wrong, but it will be there, and then we'll get it corrected. Check everything out on the website. There's a lot of cool stuff up there, plus new stuff going up there every day. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
I love that one. It's just like my favorite one.
Yeah, that's your favorite one, right?
Yep. I love that. It's my favorite. I mean, I just, you know, it's just so good. I'm sorry. All right, trivia question. I got to go back to the trivia question. How many Proverbs did Solomon write? Was it 1,005? Was it 3,000? Or was it 1,500? Your answer is in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. Might surprise some of you what the answer is. If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770. Also text in 214-210-8483, as well as send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. I often don't tell people this on the show, but I will tell you, if you did not get a chance to hear yesterday's show, the last 60 minutes, actually the whole show, but last 60 minutes, really good material for us to function in. You just got to think of it in this way. You got to think, you know, expect more in 2024. Just expect more. Okay, just have that attitude. Like, yep, okay, I'm going to expect more. All right, that's the triv right there. We're going to go into the teaching versus doing the history. We'll do history in the next segment, and that'll be the time to do that. But I want to get into this interesting teaching because I find this fascinating, and I'm going to challenge you with this. This will be more of a practical teaching than anything else. Paul in Acts chapter 21, Luke writes in Acts 21:15. Shortly afterwards, this is after Paul goes, I am willing to die for Jesus. I'm willing to do anything for Jesus. And the whole point in bringing that up is understanding that you might go through the fire, and I want to say this again, you might go through the fire in your life, but you don't know if the Lord will take that fire and light a lamp somewhere else with it where other people can see the grace of God. And so you just like, okay, you know what? The Lord's will be done. I'm going to stop complaining about it. I'm going to yield to what the Lord wants done. I want to follow what he wants done. So after this little conversation, verse 15, shortly afterward, we packed our things and left for Jerusalem. So onward they go. Some believers from Caesarea accompanied us, and they took us to the home of Manassen, who was a man originally from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. What an honor. Verse 17, all the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem welcomed us cordially. The next day, Paul went in with us to meet with James. Remember, James is the head honcho, kind of like directing things. We go all the way back to Acts 15, and he says this, and all the elders of the Jerusalem church were present. After greetings were exchanged, how you doing? Hiya. Paul gave a detailed account of the things God had accomplished among the Gentiles through his ministry. Buzzing! Listen. You know how the Lord has done cool things in your life? Okay, you've been a Christian for more than an hour? Okay, you know how the Lord has done cool things in your life? Do you record them? Do you note them? Do you have a journal? Do you have something where you can reference it? For Paul to give a detailed account of the things that God had accomplished, you already know the dude's a writer because he had people he would dictate and they would write for him. So you already know he's into the writing process. And you can count on that he kept a count on so he can know what was going on. And in our lives, and I'm going to say this to you from a practical point of view, you're starting off this new year and it's like, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. Okay. Do me a favor, take a Word document or a pad of paper and then just write at the top, cool things God has done. Cool things God has done 2024. Put a one and put a little circle around it, and the first cool thing that happens, write it down. If you want to write a paragraph or a page or two, great. I do half sentences. You think I'm kidding? I do half sentences. I'll say, something, great Christmas, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, I didn't say that about New Year's, but that's not the point. The point is great Christmas, blah, 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 fun, spend time with Noel, kids, blah, blah, blah. And all I'm trying to tell you and all I'm trying to say by that is for you to understand that if you write that down, as simple as that is, and you go back to that when you're having a hard time, you will see something that you may have not seen before, an emergence in your own life of the testimony of the faithfulness of God. And you'll have your own record for it. And nobody can tell you it's not true. You know it's true. You're not going to publish it and sell a billion copies. That's not the purpose of this. This is for you to know and to commune with the Lord. So I started this. Now, people have been doing this their whole lives. I'm just bad at it. So I started mine when we came out to Texas. So for 6 years, I've been writing, and the Lord told me and gave me a title for it, which I thought was amazing. And that's how I really knew he wanted me to do it. And it's just called Little by Little. That's what I titled mine. And you can use that title. It's not my, I don't own it. And so Little by Little. And so what I did was I would jot down just one-liners, one-liners, one-liners. I now have 1,150 some odd one-liners. 1,000 plus times in the last 5 years, God has shown his faithfulness. I even write in there when I'm struggling so that I know that the answer is coming, and then I refer back to it. It's such a blessing. And all I'm saying, and I'm not trying to guilt anybody. We're not selling anything or doing anything like that. Nobody's trying to do any of that. Here's what I'm trying to say. Paul, he went in, he met with James, and all the elders, and all the elders in Jerusalem are present, right? They're all there. And then he shares with them all these awesome things that God has done. I mean, come on, that's so powerful. When people share their testimonies, you know you're moved. You're like, wow, that's incredible. It doesn't even matter if it's the simplest thing ever. It's like, you're just like, wow, God is amazing. Well, that's what you'll be writing down about your own life. And I'm not trying to legalize it. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, nothing. This is for you. Nobody else should have it. It should be between you and God. It should be your diary with God. And maybe you pass it on to your kids, or maybe you pass it on to your spouse. You let your spouse read it or something. I don't know. I can't answer any of that. Here's what I can tell you. Keep a record of the great things God has done. And you will see the faithfulness of God throughout all of your days. Then, when you're going through the trial that seems to be bigger than any other trial, you'll have a record that you have written with God about his faithfulness, and that will encourage you and strengthen you in enduring. Because you will see in every one of those other instances the joy that was set before you. I mean, how powerful is that? And so Paul does that presentation. And he said the first thing it says after he shares it, after hearing this, they praised God. Because that's what happens. And after you read your own little journal, and it doesn't matter if you do a great job writing it. It doesn't matter if it's correct. It doesn't matter if it's grammatically correct. Nobody cares. Here's what, I mean, God had people put rocks in there for memorials, right? It doesn't have to be perfectly written anything. It's just that when it happens, and when you look at it, you go, man, how could I ever doubt? That's so powerful, isn't it? All right. The answer to the triv question, by the way, Solomon, how many Proverbs did Solomon write? Was it 1,005? Was it 3,000? Or was it 1,500? And the answer is 3,000. Now, if he wrote 3,000 Proverbs, what happened to some of them? Maybe some weren't as good as others. that's my take on that. Anyway, 3,000 Proverbs. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearted welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important part and point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect Father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect Father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the Father's like. Now, listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who reveals His will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in His hand. Our King, our Shepherd, our Father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have. I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Going to do our trivia question. Had a thought popped into my head, so I have to share it before it pops back out because I don't have a lot to plug it in. So you have big ears, and it comes in, and it just kind of leaks out and stuff like that. So I think what we'll do is we'll put up a resource page from our listeners, right? What we're going to have is somebody volunteer, and then we'll have their email and have everybody send it to them and let them take all the information and alphabetize it, and then we'll put it up on the website. So if you're willing to do some volunteer work, probably take about an hour and a half a week for the first couple weeks, and then maybe an hour a month after that. So just pray about it. Don't just do it willy-nilly. Be willing and make sure, because we want to do it the best we can. But that'll be resources for everybody. If you've got something that you listen to, that you go to, that you participate in, and it's really helpful, and it's not about recruiting people for other churches, it's about things that will bless other people and help them draw closer to the Lord. I think that's just a great thing that we should be doing on a regular basis. Here's your next and final trivia question. How many people from the house of Jacob went to live in the land of Egypt? Is it 50-ish, 30-ish, or 70-ish? Notice I threw the ishes in there. How many people from the house of Jacob went in to live in the land of Egypt? Was it 50-ish, 30-ish, or 70-ish? Your answer is in Genesis 46:27. Genesis 46:27. That's your opportunity. How many people? And if you think you know, by the way, I should tell you this. You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. And then additionally, you can send an email, David, at HeMustIncrease.org. How many people from the house of Jacob went to live in the land of Egypt? That's when Joseph came and brought his father over. Was it 50-ish, 30-ish, or 70-ish? It's the first time you've ever heard a trivia question with ish, Bible trivia attached to it. Thank you very much. In the meantime, we're going to do History.
Let's go live big in the past. Let's go live big in the past.
Can't make this stuff up. Today is trivia day.
That's awesome.
I mean, come on, people. That is just too funny. It is also National Spaghetti Day. I like
spaghetti. It's a good
one. I like spaghetti. Just telling you right now.
Me too.
I like spaghetti. All right, and listen to this. This is hilarious, and just bear with me. I have to read this. It's Tom Thumb Day. Now, keep in mind, my wife works at Tom Thumb in Rowlett. She's the floral manager, right? So Tom Thumb Day, American dwarf, 3 foot, 3.35 feet tall. He traveled with P.T. Barnum. He married Lavina Warren, who was 2 feet. Set 2.66 feet tall. They made the front page news. They had 10,000 guests. The wedding couple was received by the U.S. President Abraham Lincoln at the White House. That's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah, that's a big guest.
That's a good line right there. Let's see. 1936, Billboard magazine published its first pop music charts hits called The First Hit Parade, 1937. They've done nothing but ruin it since. And then finally, 2004, Spirit, a NASA Mars rover, landed successfully on Mars. That was, in fact, the program that my brother-in-law helped write. He actually was part of the lead team that helped write the programming for that. So that's all I got to say about that. He's a really smart guy. In some things. Notice how I dropped that off right there? In some
things. And like we've said before, anyone living on Mars, go ahead and call into the show.
Yeah, just give us a call, you know. I mean, you can piggyback on his cell. It would be a big bill for him, but it'd be funny. How many people from the house of Jacob went to live in the land of Egypt? Was it 50-ish, 30-ish, or 70-ish people? This is when Joseph came and brought his dad and brothers and everybody over. How many was it before they ultimately became a nation? There, Genesis 46:27. That is your reference point. We'll finalize with this little bit right here in the scripture. So this is after Paul gives an account, and you already heard my spiel on that. I think it's a really great idea. Verse 20, verse 20 itself. After hearing this, they praised God, but then they said, hey, you know, dear brother, there's many thousands of Jews who also believe, so they're believers, and they have they all take the law of Moses very seriously. Our Jewish Christians here in Jerusalem have been told that you're teaching that all the Jews living in the Gentile world to turn their backs on the law of Moses. They say that you teach people not to circumcise their kids, follow other Jewish customs. Now, what can be done? For they will certainly hear that you have come here. So the problem that they were having and that James and the elders were having in regards to what was going on with Paul is that Paul had a reputation. Was the full reputation true? No. Much like other exasperating, ridiculous rumors, which is where the word news comes from, no matter what anybody tells you, it's even on our website, shows you the whole background. Here's the truth. They took bits and pieces of what Paul said, and they put it together and said, this guy's teaching everything against Moses. And that's not exactly how that broke down. He was simply teaching that salvation is in Christ. And so what they did was they tweaked it and they warped it. It wasn't even the Jewish Christians, really. It was the other people that were opposing him. But here's what I want to point out. People take bits and pieces of someone's message, like the government or the media, which do it every day, or academia, and they twist what is being said to communicate something else. The reason that I bring that up is because you should be aware of that. When you hear something, it's breaking news. You better make sure it's not breaking apart before it's breaking. Because a lot of the news turns out to be breaking apart. And why I say that is all news wrong? No. Is all news bad? No. But are there many things in the realm of news that are absolutely ridiculous and full of lies? Of course. That's true in the government, and that's true in academia. It's true in Hollywood. And to be honest, It's true in many churches. It's just wrong. And so the bottom line is, instead of freaking out or instead of taking things or bits and pieces and existing that way, that is not the way to do it. You don't take bits and pieces. You don't take, well, this person said this, this person said this, this person said this. Let's take all three of those and put them together and make up a story. Okay, that's not the way this goes. So what I'm encouraging everybody is that what Paul was told to do was, let's help put it to rest. Just kind of lay it down, whatever the case may be, and we'll make it different. But the problem is people take bits and pieces and make things sound so fascinating that you have to pay attention. Hey, you know what you have to pay attention to? Him who writes the future and who wrote the future and who holds your future in the palm of his hand. As often as you think you need to check in, you could have too much of a disease of being too connected to everything everybody's saying. Even if it seems like it's the best thing in the world, you need to be careful, because there's only one place the good news is untainted, and that is in Jesus Christ. Okay, I don't care what they tell you is going to happen in 2024. If you walk in 2024 and you expect more and you have faith, you will have a great year, because you'll be doing it in partnership with God. Okay, that's what I'm trying to tell you. So, and I'm not going to let up on that, by the way. I'm just like so sick of everybody going, blah, 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 the end of the blah, blah. I don't care. If the end comes, then Jesus comes, and that's all I want anyway. So what do I care? See, that's the attitude. Okay. Okay, triv question. How many people from the house of Jacob went to live in the land of Egypt? Was it 50-ish, 30-ish, or 70-ish? And the answer is 70-ish. One manuscript, a Masoretic text, says 72. Another one says 70. I don't care. So that's why it says in John, 20, 30, or 40 gallons. It doesn't matter. Some things don't matter as much as others. Here's the deal. Don't face the future with fear. Face the future with faith, and face it with partnership in God, and you will have an awesome year. Well, taking our exit here. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Destroying everyone and everything he finds. He's the hungry giant.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.